Harry's Game by Andy Hamilton, starring James Grout as the Professor, Jimmy Mulville as Thomas, Robert Duncan as Scumspawn, and Andy Hamilton as Satan.
We call upon thee, O Prince of Darkness, O Bringer of Chaos. With the blood of this innocent, we conjure up thy demonic presence. Let us feast upon thy glory. Great Satan, we summon thee.
Great Satan, we summon thee. Great Satan, we summon thee.
See, the evil one comes. He's here. Behold his burning eyes, his mighty wings. Oh, speak to us, great prince of hell. Speak, and we shall obey.
I am Satan, master of flesh and ruler of the abyss. Many times you have summoned me with your naked pagan dances and your sacrificial bloodlettings. But now I have chosen to manifest myself to you so that you may know my will.
Speak, speak, O evil one.
Then know this, that I, Satan, thy lord and master, do hereby command all gathered here for this most profane and satanic ritual to stop now, as it's embarrassing.
Embarrassing, great prince?
Butter-clenchingly naff. Yes, I mean, just look at yourselves. It's the middle of the night, and a dozen middle-aged, pudgy men and women are prancing around naked in the woods. You think I want to see that?
We only seek to please you, master.
Yes, well, if you seek to please me, you could all go on a diet, for starters. And take off that big ram's head. What's that for?
I am sacrificial high priest.
Oh, right. Thought you were a mascot. Next time you're sacrificing a living animal to the forces of darkness, don't use a tortoise. All right, it's not very practical, and it looks like you're taking the piss, all right? I mean, technically speaking, the victim's supposed to be something symbolically pure, like a virgin.
Oh, be fair, this is Essex.
All put your togs back on, and don't ever show me up like this again.
But you cannot spurn us like this. We are your followers. For years
I know who you are. Every one of you. You, High Priest, your name's Derek. You're a 45-year-old dental technician who wears terrylene trousers and lives with his mum. You're Sandra. You work in human resources at IKEA. You eat a lot of chocolate and you overuse the word basically. Next to you is Graham. He's in the TA. He jogs while using hand weights. And he has his own personal website, which no one ever visits. And so on and so forth. Every Saturday night, you all strip off in these woods where you wobble around alarming the local wildlife.
But we do that for you. We are worshippers of evil.
No, you're not. You're just a bunch of sad suburbanites who are too ugly to go wife swapping. Go on. You're making prats of yourself.
Well, of all the ingratitude.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, especially you. You're the biggest. Stark naked, daubed with tortoise blood, and clutching a wicker phallus. You're a tabloid journalist's wet dream.
Come on, let's go. He's not really worth worshipping anyway.
No, he's a lot smaller than I'd imagined as well.
That voice, he sounds like Anthony Newley.
Yeah, well, I don't want your worship, okay? I don't need the approval of others, especially mortals from Chingford. Now clear off, go on, a lot of you.
All right, we're going as fast as we possibly can go.
Oh, I don't think so.
Master! Oh, I am thrilled to have you back. What news from the world of men?
Well, did you know that the fastest possible speed that 12 naked people, one wearing a ram's head, can travel at is 327 miles per hour?
Is that right?
Yeah, of course they have to be spun through the air by a tornado.
A tornado?
Yeah. First one in the history of Chingford. Very freakish weather. Suzanne Charlton's blaming it on El Nino.
Anyone hurt?
No, the sewage farm broke their fall. then, anything been happening while I was gone?
Yes, I'm afraid your infernal realm has taken delivery of some more of those unscheduled arrivals.
Oh, no, don't tell me. They're all men in their 60s.
That's right, over 200 of them. From cities all over the US and Europe. And every single one of them arrived wearing just his pyjamas and a broad smile.
Oh, God, I hate Viagra. Just creating so much work.
Oh, I am so glad to have you back, your most profane majesty.
I mean, what a stupid drug for a sex-mad species to invent, eh? The tickers can't cope. Mankind is going to Roger itself to extinction.
There you go.
It'll be mass Viagra, son.
I miss you dreadfully. All my thoughts are of you.
Yeah, but let's be honest, Scumspawn. All your thoughts isn't exactly a massive total, is it?
Well, you can mock.
Boy, can I mock.
But I...
And taunt. I'm the best taunter that ever taunted. Remember that time I showed Mussolini that lamppost and asked him, what is this object viewed from an unusual angle?
What I'm trying to say is that the way I feel about you is very special. It's a deep and enduring kind of love.
Hey. What have I told you about not using that word?
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot.
Yeah, I will not have the L word uttered in my presence, all right? I only tolerate you as my assistant, Scumspawn, because you're hardworking, loyal, and unthreateningly stupid. But if you continue to manifest this sickeningly soppy streak...
Oh, I'm not soppy, my prince.
You are. You're the only demon I know who collects Furbies. You're just not cruel enough.
Oh, don't reject me. I can be cruel, master. Let me prove myself, please.
All right. Follow me. Oh, the state of my ooze. Oh, must get the clippers out. It's finding the time, isn't it, really? Oh, by the way, that executive from the tobacco firm, he's to have lit fags shoved eternally into his mouth by beagles.
It shall be done.
Ah, here we are.
Hello, Satan, old chap. How's tricks?
Can you not do that, please?
Do what?
Well, the correct response on seeing my terrifying countenance is supposed to be, ah, not, hello, Satan, old chap, how's tricks? Right. Now, where's that reprobate Thomas? Ah, yes, cowering in the corner. At least someone's got the hang of it.
And how are you, scum spawn?
Shut up, I'm cruel.
Oh, right.
Right.
Hey, stand up, Thomas.
You're going to do something horrible to me, aren't you?
No.
Oh, good.
Scum spawn is...
I protest. This is in direct breach of our agreement.
Agreement?
You agree that Thomas would go unmolested while I analysed and studied him as part of an experiment in behavioural psychology.
Well, haven't you finished that yet?
Well, it's a complex study. I'm trying to find out what's made him so damaged. For instance, do you know that when he was a little boy, no one ever picked him up and gave him a cuddle?
Well, that's because he used to bite them.
Ah, yes, but why did he bite them? To get some attention. He was making a cry for help.
No, he was causing the cry for help. He should call for an ambulance. Now, step aside, Prof. Scumspawn here has to restore his credibility as a torture operative.
Oh, no.
You promised me.
Yeah, well, I lied. I'm Satan. That's one of the perks.
I've devised the torment, my prince. I shall transform myself into an enormous giant squid, and I shall crush him with my massive tentacles and rend and tear his flesh with my barbed suckers.
Yeah. Do you not think, perhaps... you should go for something a little easier. You know, I mean, your transformations do get a little overambitious sometimes, don't they?
Trust me, Your Majesty. Behold, Thomas, I am the creature of all mortal nightmares, the ferocious kraken, the dreaded horror from the deep.
That's a prawn. You've turned into a prawn.
Oh, no. But it is a giant prawn, though. It's very impressive.
But is it scary?
Well, I think you would look scary if it wasn't for the bed of lettuce.
Oh. Well, I got nervous. See, things go wrong on me when I'm nervous.
Yeah, but you're permanently nervous.
Well, that's because you make him nervous. You're always so aggressive with him.
I'm not.
That's right, he's not.
Shut it.
And I know why you're so aggressive with him. It's because you feel so threatened by his love for you. In fact, by the idea of love per se. Because deep down, you know it's something everyone except you can experience.
Well, I trust you're not including Thomas in that statistic.
Hey, I've experienced love, okay? I'm not this shallow, heartless freak that you like to portray me as. I was once head over heels in love.
Ah, see?
I was in seventh heaven, totally besotted.
And was this love requited?
Sadly not, no. My love wasn't requited because... Well, because...
It was a Porsche.
Oh, she was beautiful. Even down to the little dent on the bonnet where I took out that lollipop lady.
Right, Scumspawn.
Yes, my lord.
I'm not holding a conversation with a prawn, Scumspawn. It's humiliating. Return to your normal, hideous shape immediately.
Sorry, master. There.
Right, now, as per your earlier instructions, kindly drag Thomas off and do something vile to him.
It shall be done. Come, you miserable wretch.
I just want to say, Satan, that this bullying only serves to belittle you.
Wasn't that funny, eh? Thomas attempting to take the moral high ground. Yeah, like watching a giraffe trying to break dance.
It was an interesting reaction, though, wasn't it?
Hmm? Was it?
Yes, a while back Thomas would have just gibbered and screamed for mercy. But this time he came out with something really quite profound. Mm.
Whose definition of profound are we using here? Carol Smiley's?
No, I tell you, Thomas is definitely starting to grow as a person. He's discovering his softer, spiritual side.
Oh, please.
And that thought frightens you, doesn't it? That someone can change for the same reason that you feel threatened by love.
What, that I can't experience it? Well, that's a result in my book. Because I've seen what you lot call love, and it's just a degrading sham, frankly.
Oh, you don't even understand what love is.
I know precisely what love is, pal. Love is just a pretext for exchanging bodily fluids. It's a word. It has no substance.
Ah, that cynical tosh.
All right. Show me one substantive example of love, then. Go on.
The Taj Mahal.
Eh?
The most exquisite building in the world. Shah Jahan's memorial to his beloved wife. It was built as a lasting monument to their love.
It was built as a tax dodge. What's the matter with you? It was either that or get clobbered for death duties. I tell you, all acts of love are just selfishness in disguise.
No, you're wrong again, you see, because true love is about regarding the other person's happiness and needs as being as important as your own.
Well, you're just being silly now.
And it's true. I mean, look at me and Deborah. I love her, I always will, but I don't want her to spend the rest of her life moping over me. I mean, that'd be...
Flattering?
No, awful.
Oh, right.
No, if she were to meet someone new and fell in love, well, I'd be pleased for her. In fact, I'd be delighted.
Oh, right. Well, it's just as well, really.
Sorry?
Well, she has met someone new.
Has she?
Yes. So you must be delighted.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen her out and about with him a few times when I've been sowing mischief. Yeah, they always look very happy together.
Oh, right. What sort of things have you seen them doing together, then?
I've seen them in restaurants.
And what sort of things do they talk about?
They don't seem to talk that much, actually.
Oh, right.
Just snog. Lots of face-eating and tongue hockey, you know.
Oh, I know your game.
What?
All this lurid detail, you're just trying to wind me up.
I am not.
You are.
Listen, if I was trying to wind you up, I'd have mentioned the wedding, wouldn't I?
The wedding?
Yes.
You mean they're getting married?
In St. Peter's Church, Chingford. Yes, it's a conventional, bog-standard wedding. You know, white dress, choir boys, irritating photographer.
Well, that's terrific.
Isn't it just, yes.
I'm very pleased for her. She's got to get on with her life.
Quite right, yes.
Yes.
Yes, yes. So you don't want to know what he's like, then?
No. No, it's their choice. That's fine by me.
Oh, right. Only I could whiz you up to the living world so that you can check him out if you like.
No. It's her life. That's the end of story.
End of story? Absolutely. Do I sound like Anthony Newley? Only this woman I said I did, but he's more black. My voice is more... Well, it's like this, my voice, isn't it? I mean, it's nasal, yes, I grant you. But that's God's fault for not giving me wider passages. See, he deliberately shortchanged me in the nasal plumbing department.
Perhaps I should just check Deborah's fiancé out. You know, I mean, purely for her protection.
Uh-huh.
Just in case there's a problem or whatever. I think that's the responsible thing to do. You know, be responsible.
My approach, exactly.
Really?
Oh, yes. Wherever there's a problem, then invariably I'm responsible. Here we are. Lovely day for a wedding.
You mean they're getting married now? You didn't mention that.
Oh, yeah, service starts in about 15 minutes. Good turnout, isn't it? Yeah. Quite a few of your relatives here, I suppose.
Yeah, they can't see us, can they?
Well, I think you'd know about it if they could, don't you? Someone they buried 4 years ago turns up at his widow's wedding in the company of the devil. It would probably cause a bit of comment.
Yes, of course. Yes. Oh, look, there's Cousin Julian.
What, the one in the blue jacket?
Yes, he's a computer programmer who... Oh, wait a second, that's my blue jacket.
Was your blue jacket?
Oh, yes.
Well, anyway, he probably asked your Deborah if he could have the jacket as a memento of you. You know, a keepsake.
Oh, yes, you're probably right. Sentimental value. Well, it's quite touching, isn't it? Hang on, they're my bloody trousers. And my shoes.
Oh, yes, gosh, he's very sentimental, isn't he? Nice church, this. Yeah, very pretty gargoyles. I quite fancy the one on the corner.
Which one's the groom?
The nervous-looking bloke standing in the door of the church. His name's Rory O'Donnell.
Oh, yeah. Hey, he's a lot younger than me.
Well, you're dead, Prof. Everyone's younger than you.
I mean, he's a lot younger than I would be.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Very good-looking, isn't he, eh? Gaelic features, you know, those green, twinkling Irish eyes.
Yeah, well, he's very short, though.
Well, not for a jockey, he isn't.
He's a jockey?
Yes, well...
Well, yeah, I'm just surprised she chose a jockey, that's all. Well, they're not renowned for the quality of their minds, are they?
Well, maybe it's not his mind that she likes, eh? Perhaps he's a good stayer.
Oh, really? You know you're very vulgar.
Prof, look at me. I've got two horns, a red face and a goat's ass. I'm hardly likely to worry about appearing vulgar now, am I? Oh, hello. Cousin Julian's having a chat with him. Let's go, Earwig.
So, Rory, bit nervous?
Oh, certainly am. Just hope and pray I can make Deborah half as happy as she was with her first hubby. What was he like?
I don't really remember much about him, apart from his being my size.
He must have been a terrific fella. Wish I'd met him.
Well, I must say, he seems a very decent chap.
Doesn't he, Jess? Yes. Well, let's go see if you're right.
Where are we?
At police station.
All right. As you know, this is going to be a massive investigation, but as with any major police operation, before it begins, we need to pick a media-friendly name for it. Now, Divisional HQ are worried we've been underperforming in this area. They particularly feel that last month's clampdown to get the prostitutes off the high street, Operation Tart Grab, was something of a PR disaster. As was our investigation into corruption within our plain clothes section.
Well, Operation Early Retirement.
Okay. That was a good name.
Yeah, well, I liked it as well. Well, we need to come up with something better for this op. Now then, our objective is to smash this major race-fixing ring. If you just look at this projector screen. Yeah, now this fella is very much the weak link.
Bloody hell, but that's...
Rory O'Donnell. Crap jockey in his last season. Building up a nice little nest egg by doping some favourites.
The man's a crook.
Yeah, I like him.
Well, it's obvious. It's obvious what has to be done, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah, we have to stop the wedding, don't we?
Do we?
Yes, for Deborah's sake. She's heading for a lot of pain.
And the problem is...
Now, let's get this straight. I'm one of the eternally damned, and you're one of the tormenting demons, and you're the one who's crying.
I'm not a proper demon. Not anymore. Somehow I just can't be evil and cruel. Ever since I started experiencing all those tender feelings towards my prince, I love Satan, you see. Do you think I'm a fool?
Well, you're certainly a bad picker. My sister's like you, always going out with dodgy partners, you know, perfectly okay at first glance. Then when it comes to sex, they turn peculiar. One of her boyfriends used to insist on attaching a fibre optic camera to the end of his penis. Said he was making a Channel 4 documentary.
Ah, yes, that's obviously a relationship with an exploitative sexual element.
What other sort is there?
I'm talking about the deeper, more meaningful kind of love that doesn't involve having sex with someone.
Oh, you mean masturbation?
Oh, no. Well, what's the point? You won't understand it. I don't understand it. Part of the time I feel exhilarated, but then the rest of the time I feel anxious and confused. Perhaps I'm having some sort of nervous breakdown.
I had one of those once.
Really? Mm. How long did it last?
Just till the fraud trial was over.
What's going to happen to me?
No, all right. Don't panic. Listen, you've just lost a bit of confidence. You don't forget how to torment. It's like riding a bike. Just a question of playing on people's deepest fears, like Satan does. So, if someone's claustrophobic, then you simply imprison them in Toulouse-Lautrec's underpants. If he's scared of snakes, feed him to a massive serpent. If he's scared of the dark, feed him to a massive serpent. See, it's easy.
Is it?
Hmm.
Taken carelessly, lightly, or selfishly, but...
Look at that smile. Doesn't your missus look radiant?
Yes, yes, she does. She looks as beautiful as the day... Look, look, we're nearly at the vows. Do something.
Do I really sound like Anthony Newley? Be honest. your voice never sounds the same to you somehow, does it?
Look, are you...
I suppose it's because the head acts as a sort of sounding box and sort of...
Look, are you going to do something?
All right.
Well, what are you going to do?
Well, I'm going to have to get in there and cause some trouble, aren't I?
Yes, but I don't want Deborah traumatised. What form were you thinking of taking on? Only... Oh, bloody hell, where's he gone?
If anyone should know of any just cause or impediment why these two people should not be joined together in holy matrimony, let him speak now or forever hold his peace. I now pronounce you...
I know a just impediment.
What is the just impediment?
You. You're not a fit person to marry them, Vicar, on account of your worshipping the devil.
This is lies.
You dance around the woods naked, sacrificing tortoises.
I've been vicar here for 20 years. You seriously expect my congregation to believe the ridiculous allegations of some total stranger?
But she's not a total stranger. She's Gabby Roslin.
She's lying, I tell you.
Gabby Roslin never lies.
Ah, I love the smell of freshly baked sinners. Well, Operation Wedding Wreck was a success, wasn't it?
Yes. You don't think Deborah was too traumatised, do you?
Well, she got a bit upset when they tried to burn the vicar.
Yes. And when Uncle Harry died from that heart attack. I mean, that got everyone upset, apart from Cousin Julian. He got a change of wardrobe. Do you often take on the form of Gabby Roslin?
I'll let you into a secret, Prof. There's no such person as Gabby Roslin.
Really?
Nah, she's just a demonic guise I adopt, yeah. You know, I go on holiday programmes and tell everyone that Wales is a nice place to go in the summer. Who's that? Who's that screaming?
Well, I think it's coming from over there, from inside Toulouse-Lautrec's trousers.
Scunspawn!
Yes, my lord, beacon of my existence recently...
Yeah, I'll take the rest of the grovelling as read, thank you. Who is that in Toulouse-Lautrec's groin area?
He's a claustrophobic. It was Thomas's idea. He's given me a sort of masterclass on cruelty, showing me how to exploit people's darkest fears.
Yeah, and where is Thomas?
Over there, feeding that chap to that massive serpent.
Great news, Scumspawn! This one started to wet himself!
Oh, look, Prof, he's discovering his softer spiritual side.
Well, I could argue that he's doing this to help Scumspawn.
Now he's crapping himself! Oh, this is brilliant!
But I don't think I will.
Hey, are you having a good time, Thomas? Yeah, it's good fun exploiting the fears of others, isn't it?
Yeah. Listen. You can just hear him screaming inside the serpent's tummy.
Yeah. Is there anything in particular that scares you, Thomas?
I'm quite scared of that look on your face.
Why is that?
Well, it's the look you always give me just before you turn me into a hemorrhoid. Oh, no.
Oh, where have you sent him this time?
Well, let's just say he's now an itch in the arse of a phobic who's inside a massive serpent. Now, as for you, Scumspawn. Your brief, as I recall, was to prove you could toughen up by tormenting Thomas. Instead, you allowed Thomas to...
I was desperate, my liege. Desperate to win your approval, because...
I'm sorry, Scumspawn, but I have no choice but to subject you to the most severe punishment possible.
Of course you do.
Hey?
Well, you're too scared not to. I mean, you've got to lash out, because the slightest show of intimacy and you start to feel threatened.
All right. I'll prove I don't feel threatened by intimacy, by not punishing Scumspawn. There.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you.
Don't touch me, ever. just absent yourself somewhere absent. Go on.
I obey, eternal rule of my heart.
Mm. You struck a bit of a raw nerve, didn't I? Scumspawn's living proof that there is such a thing as selfless love.
Well, I admit that I might have witnessed selfless love earlier when you intervened to save your Deborah from marrying that man.
Well, I had to do something.
Yeah, absolutely. The chap was a scoundrel, and she obviously had no idea.
Well, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, if she had known what he was really like, she would never have agreed to marry him, would she?
No.
Of course, we'll never find out now, will we?
What?
Well, she'll never get to make that choice for herself, will she? You know, you made it for her, didn't you? By getting me to sabotage the wedding.
Yes, because he's a criminal.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, assuming the police have got the right man, of course. Which must happen occasionally, I suppose. I mean, maybe we should have double-checked the facts, but no, there wasn't really time, was there? You were just so keen to get back and stop that wedding.
I know what you're implying. You're saying that I'm some sort of self-righteous old fraud who couldn't resist interfering because he couldn't bear to think of his darling wife in the arms of a toy boy Irish half-pint.
Oh, now, Prof. Don't feel threatened.
You think you've proved my love's just selfishness in disguise, don't you? Well, do you know what I think? You know, I think that... I think you do sound like bloody Anthony Newley.
Old Harry's Game featured Andy Hamilton as Satan, James Grout as the Professor, Jimmy Mulville as Thomas, and Robert Duncan as Scumspawn, with Felicity Montague, Philip Pope, Nick Revel, and Michael Fenton Stevens. The programme was written by Andy Hamilton and produced by Paul Mayhew Archer.